Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. And I ask, Lord, by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would speak through me today, that you would be honored and glorified by the power of your word to change lives. I ask, Lord, that you would touch the hearts of those here and those listening online, that the word would be received as seed and it would produce a harvest for your kingdom and for your glory, Lord. Now have your will in your way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I promise you we are going to get back into Revelation 20. Just not today and not next week. I made the comment last week about the feasts. And so we're going to talk about some of the fall feasts over the next 2 weeks, and it's going to tie us back right into Revelation 20. And today we're going to talk about the Feast of Trumpets and Jesus Christ. Leviticus 23, verses 23 through 25, it says, "Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, 'Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord.'" Last week, we celebrated the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we saw the power of God's word come to life in the recollection of events, both surrounding our Lord's resurrection in the book of John. We also learned of how Christ fulfilled the prophecy, or what was foretold prophetically with the spring feast of Israel. And just to recap those, as they are as follows. Passover, which pointed to the Messiah as our Passover lamb, whose blood was shed for our sins. Paul referenced that in 1 Corinthians 5:7. Jesus was crucified on Passover. He is the lamb without blemish, as noted in 1 Peter 1:19. John saw him. The Baptist said, "The Lamb who takes away the sins of the world." His life was completely free from sin, Hebrews 4:15. We also learned that as part of the ordinance of Passover, that the bones of the Passover lamb were not to be broken. And we saw John specifically mention that the criminals to Christ's left and right had their legs broken, but Christ was pierced in his side, since he was already dead, again fulfilling prophecy. As the first Passover marked the Hebrews' release from Egyptian slavery, so the death of Christ freed us from the slavery and the bondage of sin. The next day, the Feast of Unleavened Bread pointed to Messiah's sinless life. We just partook of matzah, which is unleavened. Leaven is a reference to sin constantly throughout the Bible. That means that Jesus was without sin. He is the Feast of Unleavened Bread. He laid in the tomb. He was the perfect sacrifice for our sins. And just as Jesus foretold that a kernel of wheat must fall, then forth will give, burst forth in new life. He is the bread of life. And we learned of the first fruits, the very next feast, pointing to Messiah's resurrection, the first fruits of the righteous. Jesus was resurrected on the day of first fruits. And you learned last week that the first fruits would be harvested. And they would have to go to the temple and give to the priest. And the priest would go and have to present it to the Lord before the harvest could begin. Just as Jesus told Mary, "Don't touch me. I have not yet gone to my Father. I must present myself." And then later on, Thomas, we see him touching him after. And that would lead to the harvest of souls, which is found in the Feast of Pentecost. We saw in Leviticus 23:16, it happened 50 days after the Feast of Unleavened Bread. It pointed to the great harvest of souls to which Peter would preach his awesome sermon. Acts 2, 3,000 souls were saved. The beginning of the church age. The church was established on that day. God poured out his Holy Spirit upon us, the church. And just as Christ fulfilled the spring feast in his first coming, Many look at the fall feast as yet to be filled. And I know there was a question last week, well, what about the Day of Atonement? You will find out next week. Yes, Christ did fill the Day of Atonement. But there is another piece of that that you need to understand. So patience. As prophetic, the fall feast will be fulfilled in Christ's second coming, the return of Jesus, Messiah. As stated, the Feast of Weeks and Pentecost was the start of the church age. In Leviticus 23, 15 through 22, the Feast of Weeks or Pentecost is described. But the very last verse of that section is interesting. I've actually heard some share this verse in a peculiar fashions that have described it as a partial rapture of the church. I don't see any support of that in Scripture whatsoever. But the Scripture reads, Leviticus 23:22, when you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not wholly reap the corners of your field when you reap, nor shall you gather any gleanings from your harvest. You shall leave them for the poor and for the stranger. I am the Lord your God. This has to do with the harvest. And God is remembering the poor and the stranger. Who is the stranger in this text? Who is a stranger to Israel? It is the Gentiles, folks. Gentiles. Israel missed Messiah in his first coming. Their hearts were partially hardened, but as a result, salvation came to the Gentiles. This passage, verse 22, is directly between Pentecost and trumpets. It's squeezed in there, in between the spring and the fall feast, in a gap of time, in our timing, is roughly 3 months. But I look at this passage, and perhaps that gap is the church age, folks, since the Holy Spirit was poured out to present day. That's what we're in right now. Pentecost started, and the gospel would go to the Gentiles, for Israel is partially hardened. The gospel will go to the ends of the earth, is what Jesus said. And so here we are in the age of grace, in the church age. Matthew 28:19-20. Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That's a promise. He's with us. He never forsakes us. Matthew 24, as he was talking about the end, he says, this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. So 2,000 years ago, roughly, the church age began. My question is, has the gospel been preached all over the world? I would say yes. It started in Jerusalem, and it would like a wildfire all throughout. Isn't it amazing that though others look to persecute the church, the gates of hell cannot prevail against it? The gospel is still preached. When others are told they cannot meet, they are still meeting. Along with all the other signs that we can confirm that we are in the season of Christ's return. We are quickly approaching the end of a dispensation, folks. That means that we are close to the bookends of the fall of the spring feast and fall feast in context to the message today. So Leviticus 23:24 says, speak to the children of Israel, saying in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing trumpets, a holy convocation. That first month on the Jewish calendar is Tishrei. Like we learned Nisan last week, Tishrei. This is the Jewish New Year. The Feast of Trumpets marked the beginning of 10 days of consecration and repentance before God for the Jews. It is one of seven Jewish feasts or festivals appointed by the Lord and the first of three feasts that occur in the fall or in autumn. The Feast of Trumpets begins on the first day at the new moon on the seventh month. And the Feast of Trumpets was a two-day feast as it required the sighting of the first part of the new moon, and then the sighting had to be reported to the priests. No one knew the exact time, and no work was to be done, so time was needed to spread the word. The exact day would begin at the sight of the smallest part of the new moon, and because of 2 days and the weight of appearance of the new moon, one can easily understand the phrase, the day and the hour no one knows. Matthew 24, 32 through 36, Jesus specifically said this. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already come tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words by no means pass away. But of that day and hour no one knows, not even the angels of heaven, but my Father only. I find it very interesting that no one knows the day or the hour that the Feast of Trumpets begins. It gets its name, the Feast of Trumpets, from the command to blow trumpets, found in Leviticus 23:24, also in Numbers 29:1-6. It is also called Rosh Hashanah. The blowing of the trumpets on the first day of the month herald a solemn time of preparation for the Day of Atonement, which would come. This preparation time was called the 10 Days of Repentance, or the Days of Awe. Days of Awe. Let's talk about the significance of trumpets first. What did trumpets, what did they mean to Israel? The trumpet, known as the shofar, the ram's horn, we see that in context, in text. 1 Kings 1:39, then Zadok the priest took a horn of oil from the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the horn, the shofar, and all the people said, long live King Solomon. Numbers 10:1-10, and the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for calling the congregation and for directing the movement of the camps. When they shall blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders of the heads of divisions of Israel shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, the camps that lie in the east shall then begin their journey. When you sound the advance the second time, then the camps that lie on the south shall begin their journey. And they shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. And when the assembly is to be gathered together, you shall blow, but not sound the advance. The sons of Aaron, the priests, shall blow the trumpets, and these shall be to you as an ordinance forever throughout your generations. Verse 9, when you go to war in your land against the enemy who oppresses you, then you shall sound an alarm with the trumpets, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God, and you will be saved from your enemies. Also, in the day of your gladness, or joy, rejoicing, in your appointed feasts, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpets over your burnt offerings, and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings, and they shall be a memorial for you before your God. I am the Lord your God. So, I've read to you two passages, and we see the use of trumpets and the significance as the coronation of the king. The call to assemble the congregation, a setting out of a journey, the call to war or battle, and at times of gladness or rejoicing at the appointed feasts and times. I believe the Feast of Trumpets gives us a picture and signifies the rapture of the church, folks. Just as Paul described Christ as the first fruits, so we see Paul describe the rapture of the church. We know the rapture, the gathering, will be associated with a trumpet. 1 Thessalonians 4:16-18. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God. And the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up. In the Greek is harpazo. In the Latin is rapturo. That's where you get rapture. Together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore comfort one another with these words. What a comfort to know of what's to come. Looking for our blessed hope. Amen? Amen. Last week we read 1 Corinthians 15:51-53. Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, at the last trumpet, or the last trump in the key KJV, the last trump, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. Powerful scriptures. Let's tie some of this together now. With other names for the Feast of Trumpets. I already told you the one, Rosh Hashanah, the first of the new year. Little fun fact, if you look over in Genesis chapter 8, verse 13, it says, "And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, the first day of the month, that the waters were dried up from the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark and looked, and indeed the surface of the ground was dry." The significance, the first day of the new year, Noah saw the new world. After the flood, the covering of the ark was removed, and he saw dry land. So we too, as Christians, after the blowing of the trumpet, will see our new land, our new home in heaven. Amen. Love that. Hallelujah. An alternative name for the Feast of Trumpets, Yom Teruah. Yom Teruah, meaning the day of massive shout or great noise, the day of awakening blasts. Isaiah 26, verse 19, in the New Living Translation, "But those who die in the Lord will live. Their bodies will rise again. Those who sleep in the earth will rise up and sing for joy, for your life-giving light will fall like dew on your people in the place of the dead." Does anybody see the parallel there to 1 Thessalonians 4? "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Hallelujah. MyJewishLearning.com, with other names for Rosh Hashanah. Rosh Hashanah is the head of the year. It's the new Jewish New Year. Traditionally, Rosh Hashanah is the day on which human beings are called to account for their behavior in the previous year. God weighs their rights and wrongs, and in a dramatic image, fleshes out the haunting prayer, inscribes deserving people in the book of life for the coming year. For this reason, Rosh Hashanah is also known as Yom Hadin, the day of judgment. For those folks left behind in the rapture, the wrath of the Lamb they will face. For those not in Christ, they will face the wrath of the Lamb, folks. And for us who are in Christ, we will stand before Christ, the Bema seat. Romans 14, 10 through 12, "But why do you judge your brother? Or why do you show your contempt for your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to me, and every tongue shall confess to God. So then each of us will give an account of himself to God." It is also called Yom Hazikaron, the day of remembrance, because Jews pray that God will remember them in the coming year. In the book of Malachi, this is just before Christ comes onto the scene. We have the Gospels, right? There's 400 years of silence. Then those, in chapter 3, verse 16, "Then those who feared the Lord spoke to one another, and the Lord listened and heard them. So a book of remembrance was written before him for those who fear the Lord and who meditate on his name. They shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts. On that day I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. Then you shall again discern between the righteous and the wicked, between the one who serves God and the one who does not serve him." Immediately, chapter 4 is the day of the Lord. Before the day, behold, the day is coming, burning like an oven, and all the proud, yes, all who do wickedly will be stubble. And the day which is coming shall burn them up, says the Lord of hosts. that will leave them neither root nor branch, but to you who fear my name. The Son of Righteousness shall arise with healing in his wings, and you shall go out and grow fat like stall-fed calves. Man, I don't know if we'll be big fat, but you know. Listen, for those in Christ, they will be spared the day of the Lord, the wrath of the Lamb. For those not in Christ, they will experience an intense time of judgment and wrath. And God knows the difference. He's a discerner of the heart and the thoughts of man. He knows what you're thinking. He knows who is living with the masquerade. And he knows those who worship him in spirit and truth. Remember, it's not our righteousness. It's his, Christ's. Amen. So what are we to do with the knowledge we've learned? What are we to do with this knowledge? Zephaniah chapter 2, 1 through 3. We know the Feast of Trumpets. We know the Lord is going to return. What are we supposed to do? Zephaniah 2, 1 through 3 says, gather yourselves together. Yes, gather together, O undesirable nation, before the decree is issued, or the day passes like chaff, before the Lord's fierce anger comes upon you, before the day of the Lord's anger comes upon you. Seek the Lord, all you meek of the earth who have upheld his justice. Seek righteousness. Seek humility. It may that you will be hidden in the day of the Lord's anger. Back in Isaiah 26, that's the passage where it says, like the day of the awakening blast, 2021, it says, go home, my people, enter into your chambers and lock your doors, or shut your doors. Hide yourselves for a little while until the Lord's anger, his indignation, has passed. Wow. Wow. Seek the Lord while you still may find him. Jesus, some ad-lib notes here. Jesus says in the Gospel of Luke, chapter 12, 35, be dressed for service and keep your lamps burning, as though you were waiting for your master to return from the wedding feast. Then you will be ready to open the door and let him in the moment he arrives and knocks. The servants who are ready and waiting for his return will be rewarded. I tell you the truth, he himself will seat them, put on an apron, and serve them as they sit and eat. He may come in the middle of the night or just before dawn, but whenever he comes, he will reward the servants who are ready. Are you ready, folks? Understand this. If a homeowner knew exactly when a burglar was coming, he would not permit his house to be broken into. You also must be ready all the time, for the Son of Man will come when least expected. We are to be looking for his return. We are to be doing his business, his bidding. Hebrews 10, 23 to 25, Paul says, let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. Without wavering. For he who was promised is faithful. And let us consider one another in order to stir up love and good works. That's what Katie was talking about in love. Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. That's what we're doing today. We are assembling together, as is the manner of some, but exhorting one another, building one another up, as so much more as you see the day approaching. You and I have hope. A hope this world does not understand. They do not comprehend what we cling to. Their eyes are blinded. We need to share the hope of Christ. We need to share. 1 Peter 1:1-3, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope. It's a living hope. It's alive. It's not dead. It is alive. Through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead,
to an inheritance incorruptible, undefiled, that does not fade away. It's not tied to the Federal Reserve. It doesn't go poof when the economy comes crashing down. It's reserved in heaven for you. That means there's a reservation with your name on it. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. Through faith, the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You and I have a responsibility. We have a calling. We know Him. We found the pearl of great price, did we not?
Yes.
We sold the farm to get the other farm. We have the light of Christ inside us. Should we put it under a bushel?
No,
we don't. We press forward, just as Paul said, I press forward to the high calling of Jesus Christ, not ashamed of what He's done for you and I. We boldly proclaim the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ, in love, in love. Read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. It's like the theme of love just comes, boom, all the way through. Why? Because He loved us first. Love the lost. Point them to Christ. He is the way. He is the truth. He is the life. This world has nothing to offer that is eternal. Nothing. It's going to be burned in the fire. We need to occupy and redeem our time for King Jesus. You have something to share. You have a testimony of what Christ did for you. Titus describes it. Titus 2, 3 through 7, for we ourselves also were sometimes foolish, disobedient, deceived, serving diverse lusts and pleasures, living in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. But after the kindness and love of God, our Savior toward man appeared, not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to His mercy He saved us by the washing of regeneration and the renewing of the Holy Spirit, which He shed on us abundantly through Jesus Christ our Savior, that being justified by His grace. What is grace? His empowering presence for you to do and be what you cannot do and be on your own. You cannot be righteous on your own. It's through Him we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life. When you know your identity, you become bold. You receive a holy boldness. Saul was bold with the law. But when the light of Christ blinded him and he became new and he became Paul, it was a holy boldness to speak to the heart. It's a gift of discernment. The Holy Spirit was reigning in him. He wasn't bound by what books are telling him to do. He was being led by the Holy Spirit. You have a confidence of knowing whose you are and where you are going. Weeks ago, I said you are an ambassador. You are an ambassador of Christ. You're an accredited diplomat sent by a country. You're an official representative. You're an authorized messenger for the kingdom of God. 2 Corinthians 5, 17 through 21. After saying He's the first fruits, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Caterpillar to butterfly, you're a new creation. Old things have passed away. All things have become new. When you're walking in the Spirit, you know, there's just like kind of pep in your step. There's just something new. Like when you read the Bible and you read something new, there's this excitement that comes inside you. It oozes out of you and you want to share it with the world. You and I were baptized with Christ into death and raised new in Him. By the power of the Holy Spirit, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead has transformed you.
Amen.
You have the third part of the Godhead living inside you.
Amen.
Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to Himself through Jesus Christ and has given us the ministry of reconciliation. We're part of that ministry to reconcile the lost back to God.
Yes.
That is that God was in Christ, reconciled the world to himself, not imputing their trespass to him, and has committed to us to the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us, pleading through you and I, with your words, with your prayers, with your actions and deeds that are sown in love. For he made him sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Ephesians 6, 19-3. For me that utterance may be given unto him, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. An ambassador in bonds. He no longer a slave to sin, but a bondservant to Christ. The bondservant would have their ear pierced in servitude to be free. He said, no, I want to serve you. Just as Christ was pierced, Paul's saying, I'm a bondservant. I'll be pierced for my King. Matthew 5, you are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill that cannot be hidden. Nor do they light a lamp or put it under a basket, but on a lampstand that gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works. And what happens when they see them? They glorify your Father in heaven. The world is lost. It's on a runaway freight train. Runaway freight train. Quickly. Quickly. You can. I mean, if your head's not in the sand like an ostrich, if you look at the events that are happening in the world, you can see how all things converge and are converging to that which is of the beast system. The system. The things that are getting in place, folks. Not many pulpits are blowing the trumpet of warning. People are going about their life every day with an expectation. And I'm not telling you to go sell everything and move into the church. I'm not talking about that. You be a good steward over what God has given you. You plan accordingly, but you don't hold tight to what this world is giving you. You hold tight to the anchor of your soul. But those who are lost have an expectation only that this world has to give them. They're deceived. They think they're good people. And they think that all roads lead to heaven. And it's a dark world, and it's going to get darker. That's why we have to be the light of Christ while we are given our time here. Yes. You are to be that vessel to help reach the lost world. What are we doing to reach those people? Are you sowing the seeds? What are you seeking? Are you looking to seek after fame and fortune, or are you looking to seek after our King and share the love of him? Because that reward is eternal. We're not a secret club, folks. We're the church. And we are to proclaim the good news. It is triage time. It is time to snatch brands from the fire. Go out into the world. In your workplace, look for those opportunities to share. Tell a loved one, tell the family member. You don't have to hit them over the head with it, but just share with them. Snatch brands from the fire. Snatch brands from the fire. It's what Jude's talking about. They're fire. It's so close. You're snatching them from the fire. The eternal fire is so close. So in closing, the significance of the trumpets was to call out the assembly, to call together the assembly, the congregation. It was to set out on a journey at times of gladness or rejoicing at the appointed feasts and times. It was a call to war and to battle, and it was the coronation of the King and church. One day, the Lord himself Do you understand that? The Lord himself, not an angel, not a messenger, it's not some courier, it's the Lord himself will descend at the last trump. He will call to assemble the congregation. And I don't think it be to be beyond our Lord. As we saw him resurrect Lazarus, he said, what? Lazarus, come forth. And so it shall be where he will say, Katie, come forth. Cindy, come forth. Kathy, come forth. And everybody here. It'll be perhaps your name that is called. Roger, come forth. Well done, true and faithful servant. That is right. We are to assemble. And as we set out on a journey, in the blink of an eye, we will be in our new home. A time of gladness and rejoicing as we celebrate the wedding feast, the marriage supper of the Lamb. And God will go to battle in the day of the Lord, culminating in the return of Christ, the second coming on earth, as we come back with our King. And he is already King, but Psalm 2 was fulfilled. The nations are given to him as an inheritance. The enemies are made his footstool, and he rules and reigns. Hallelujah. That is the significance of the Feast of Trumpets. Yes, come, Lord Jesus. It's the blowing of the trumpet, and that's the significance of it. You don't want to be on the other side of that. And if you don't, know Christ as your Savior, as your King. You can today. You can today. For those online who don't know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, you too can know that when that trumpet sounds, oh, may I then in him be found. Dressed in his righteousness, faultless, standing before the throne. You must, A, admit you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Romans 3:10, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23, the penalty of that, the wages of sin is death. It's the penalty, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. When you admit you're a sinner, repentance, metanoia, change of mind, change of direction. I'm an enemy of God, now I'm turning to him. I'm running. I was the prodigal, and I'm running as fast as I can. It's just the Father's coming to me, arms open wide, for I believe in my heart that Jesus is Lord. Romans 10, 9-10, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So what you need to do? See, call upon the name of the Lord. For whoever calls, Romans 10:13, for whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Call on him today. Do not tarry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you in the mighty name of Jesus. You're the author and finisher of our faith, Lord. The power of your word and what it says, it helps us run this race of faith. It's not a sprint, it's a marathon, Lord. I ask for strength upon this body, this church body, to boldly proclaim the good news, to not shy away, but to make a stand, to be steadfast for you, Lord, until the day you return and take us home. Have your hand upon this little church of Philadelphia. Be with our community, be with our leaders, Lord. That their eyes would be open to you, Lord Jesus, and give them heavenly wisdom. Help us to be salt and light, salt to preserve and keep back the decay. and light to push back the darkness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
You are dismissed.